And it's Blue Pointer, I'm Causing Terror, and Star Chamber starting to join in three wide. It's got them, I think, Star Chamber. It goes to I'm Causing Terror and pulls away. Star Chamber racing clear to win the Tasmania Cup.
Now, on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Well, it's been a hectic week for harness racing around the state, with two meetings to look back at over the last 7 days and a heap of racing to come. To tell us all about it, the co-development manager for harness racing in Tasmania, Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
I'm very well, thanks, Shane.
Well, last Friday night was a tremendous night for the Burnie Harness Racing Club, and it was enjoyed by the train driver who's picked his time to go through again this week. I didn't realise there were so many level crossings in Burnie, but he came through before the race started and was still blowing when it finished, so he's doing a great job there.
I think you enjoy that train passing through the meetings at the Burnie Friday night meetings. Just over the back of the stables there, Shane, you always seem to have a great line when the train does go through, invariably.
As long as he stays on the line, that's the important thing.
No problem the speed he's going at. I think he's definitely going to stay on the line. And someone who's right on the line at the moment is Ron Mansfield, 59-year-old trainer from Devonport. Only got two horses in the stable at the moment. Took them both to Burnie last Friday night and both won. Esquivo and Boutique Art, and they're both out of the Barry Rattray stable. I think Barry thought they weren't up to his standards. Ron happily took them, and both of them won for Ron at Burnie last Friday night. And Ron's only ever had one other winner, and that was a horse called Love This Life at Burnie about this time last year. Now, those two made up the first, made up two legs of a treble for driver Todd Rattray, and his other winner was Gogo Gigi, and that's, of course, trained by his father, Barry, and that won the Greg Rawlings Bulldozing two-year-old sweepstakes. And isn't this gelding impeccably bred? Better's Delight, the sire of Bow Tide, out of Ashkelini, and Ashkelini is a half-sister to Bow Tide, being out of Gorse Bush. So no wonder Gogo Gigi can run a bit, and we look forward to seeing her in the better two-year-old fillies races later in the season. Going through a couple others at Burnie, Johnny Art, in a low-class four-year-old and older, no more than two wins, equaled the track record. This horse has got ability. He needs everything to go his way to show it, and Gareth Rattray made sure it did when he equaled the mobile record of 202.7 for the 2180 metres. Chrissy May Germain in the Alan Williams Memorial Heat 3 for fourth side trainer Morris Jarman and local driver Craig Hayes. That was a first win from 20 starts. She certainly appreciated the pole draw at Burnie. And High Flying Fred, what a success story this is on the night. Took a long time to get there. He's had 72 starts, this nine-year-old, for two wins and eight placings. His last win was 5 years and 2 months ago at Carrick in December 2009 as a four-year-old. So that's certainly an example of perseverance.
Yeah, absolutely. Well-deserved victory. Few and far between, that's for sure. Now, Launceston on Sunday, a man who's knocked up getting winners of late, Rowan Hillier, was in a purple patch of form.
Another big night for the Hillier family, actually, but especially Rowan. Rowan trained a double with Tizu Tutor, very consistent in the claim as Tizu Tutor. And the really smart mare that he's got from Melbourne, Artie Missy. And Artie Missy went 156.5 on Sunday night. And that's only about a second outside the Launceston track record. So he's got this mare flying, Rowan. She couldn't hold up early from the pole draw, took cover, but she sprinted beautifully. And Rowan rounded the night off with a driving treble when he was behind the Brad Walters-trained Kirby L to win the last race for the 3CO, 3C1, CO fillies and mares. What a good training effort by Brad Walters, and his team's really on fire in recent weeks. Louis Bullin's been racing well. Kirby L had 2 seconds leading up to this race start. It hadn't won in its previous 19 starts, but it did win last Sunday night at Launceston and gave the promise of a fair bit more to come. No Spring Secrets in the first smart three-year-old. He's probably the early favourite for the Tasmanian Derby, which will be held at Hobart on March 22nd. This season, two wins and a placing from only three starts, rated 2 minutes, and that's smart time for the 2200 at Launceston, and seemed to be much more tractable in recent starts. And I know that's been the aim of his trainer, Steve Lukak from Oatlands, to settle the gelding down. It appears they may be on that path. Miley Rose continued her good record this season, made a 2 from 2, and no doubt she'll be heading to the Granny Smith at Devonport in April. Robin Shavotsky, hasn't this mare matured as a four-year-old? Her last six starts have been 3 wins and 3 seconds, and she looks as if there's more improvement in the way that she's going through the class at the moment. Devilish Smile, race 6, a Maxfield Drilling Proprietor Limited Pace. Well, we talked last week about this bloke, Shane. 33 months away from the races, but he did have some great form before he had a long injury in 4 spell, including a 3-year-old Vic Bred Sire's final win in Victoria, of course, and an Olean Cup win. What a drive by Kate McLeod. Got caught wide early. She knew what she had underneath. She pushed forward, charged to the lead, rated the horse beautifully, and it held on to win comfortably by a length from Punt Road Disco. We might see this horse running up in the Devonport Cup or the Easter Cup because he's already demonstrated it can handle a stand through winning the standing start Oyen Cup. And that's pretty well a summary for Launceston last Sunday night, Shane.
We've got another exciting program coming up on Saturday night at Menangle and plenty of Tasmanian interest at the meeting.
He does this again demonstrate the strength of Tasmanian harness racing. We've actually got five, in fact, we've got six Tasmanian horses with really strong connections. And as well as that, a horse called For a Reason, who is owned by Dean Jones from Kingston Beach here in Hobart. And that is going around in one of the Inter-Dominion heats as well against Bow Tide. Let's go through them. Race one, Blue Pointer, was third in the Tasmanian Cup. It's fronting up in an M1, M2 with a $50,000 final as part of the World Drivers' Championship on the 1st of March. In the second race, number seven's Rykoff Lees. Last 10 starts, a win, 2 seconds, 3 thirds, mainly in C4 to C7 class. This is an MO heat. And there's a Lady Drivers' Series final on the 1st of March. And again, we're looking at $50,000 for that final. Race three, the George Johnson winner, Spitfire Rose, is now at Menangle. Had two starts there in recent weeks, well down the track, but now with a John Tapp stable, and John certainly knows how to train a winner up at Menangle. So Spitfire Rose, race three. She'll be heading into a $50,000 final two on the 1st of March, into Dominion final day if she qualifies. Race five, we've got Diva's Delight, trained by James Rattray. Third in a Hobart discretionary 2 weeks back on the 1st of February. So quick trip up to Menangle for this heat, which will be a $50,000 race again on the 1st of March if it gets through. And race six, the heat two of the tab.com.au Inter-Dominion. Heat two and Bowtide will go around as one of the favourites, and he'll be looking to regain his best form. And he certainly is seen at his best at Menangle. He may have been slightly disappointing in the Victoria Cup, but I don't know how anything would have come from behind and reeled in Chris and me running 54 seconds for the last half at Melton when he won the Victoria Cup. It's been his only disappointing finish as far as the number beside his name goes, being eighth, Bowtide, and we certainly expect him to improve. And in the same race, For a Reason, as I said, owned by Dean Jones from Kingston Beach, he's in that race as well. And the last one, Shane, race eight, the Garrard's Horse and Hound Sabella Stakes. It's a $51,000 race for the mares. And the 2014 Tasmanian Mare of the Year, later on, is in this race. Now, since then, she has been sold to Interstate Interest, but she's another horse that the Rattray Family Trust bred. And she's run third and second in $40,000 and $50,000 races the last 2 weeks at Menangle. So she's a great chance to figure in the finish of that $50,000 mares race. So there can be no better example of the strength of Tasmanian harness racing than simply to look at Menangle on Saturday night.
I'm sure we'll all be tuned in for what promises to be a tremendous meeting. And then back on the local scene on Friday night, we've got harness racing, Devonport Harness Racing Club in action at Peter Parks, Brayton.
Yeah, first time there, Shane, since May 2013. And Tas Racing would like to retain a presence at Peter Park. The rough plan is to schedule a meeting a year. That, of course, can change either way. We've got the meeting there on Friday night. It's on Sky 2, and trainers have certainly responded. We've got eight races, and I think all are within one horse of capacity fields. Further, two heats of the Alan Williams Memorial Heat 5, the Kevin Hodgkinson Alan Williams Memorial, Heat 4 and Heat 5, their races 1 and 2. In the first heat, Mavis Merle for Brad Walters, and we know how well that stable's going. We'll be having its first start. The trial winner on the 4th of February at New Norfolk. The time overall was slow, but it did beat eight or nine others. It's by Pacific Filler out of Bonnie Luna. She's a pretty handy mare, so we look forward to seeing Mavis Mill at the track at Devonport on Friday afternoon. And Heathburn Heartache, race two, number three, is having its first Tasmanian start. Six mainland starts for one placing, formerly New South Wales, Victoria, and last start was third at Swan Hill in early December. The highlight of the night is the Devonport Saddle World Sheffield Cup, race seven, very even field. But having said that, Whisper Jet has been enormous at his last two. If you look at the replays on tasracing.com.au of the New Norfolk Cup on the 26th of January and the Carrick Cup on the 31st of January, both runs were incredible by Whisper Jet, so it may well be one of the favourites in the Devonport Saddle World Sheffield Cup, which is the main event at Peter Parks, Brayton, on Friday night.
And then from there, we front up to Hobart on Sunday night with another eight races.
Yeah, it keeps going, and what a race. The Tour East Flying Mile is the main race, race five. But prior to that, in race three, Gangnam Dancer. Can you relate to that, Shane?
Absolutely. Every Friday and Saturday night, Kev.
I'm pleased. Our one win and three placings and 13 starts at Redcliffe and Albion Park in Queensland. And first start for Justin Campbell, owned by Dean Jones, Adam Rhodes, Marie Fasoli, Samuel Baker and Tim Palfreyman. So it's first up in Tassie, and this three-year-old looks to have pretty handy form with two recent fifths at Albion Park prior to heading south. In race four, we've got another Tasmanian first starter, being Faraway Man for Juanita McKenzie. 9 wins, 9 placings from 34, ex-Victorian. Last raced on November the 3rd when it was only 8th at Terang, but it did win 3 on end in September, October at Ballarat, so obviously got ability. And then we go the Tories Flying Mile, race 5. Some of these free-for-alls, some weeks you struggle to get a field, other weeks you get a capacity field, and we've got the latter on Sunday night at Hobart. Ardlusa Express, number 1, is coming off the back of 2 restricted wins as it's gone through the C5, C6 classes. Drawn the pole, Houdini. 5th run back, getting better each time. Modern Ruler didn't win at Devonport this year, but was a strong first-up winner in a free-for-all at Launceston in early January. Remember Joe, a good second last start. Truly Blissful charged through late to win at Launceston last week. Dodger, my mate, was an incredible run, 2 runs back in the Devonport City of Quality. Our Chain of Command won off 30 metres at its last start, and Motu Crusader has won 2 of the last 3 Tassie Cups. So a really strong Tories Flying Mile. We're round the card off with a 2-year-old and one of the most anticipated horses in Tasmanian harness racing this year is having its first start at Hobart on Sunday night, and that is race 8, number 4, Bling It to the Max. It was the second highest purchase at the 2014 APG sales. I think the figure was $135,000 that Mick Maxfield paid for this half-brother to Bling It On and Baby Bling. Very impressive at the recent trials, and I understand it's headed for the AP Gold Series, which starts at Melton on the 1st of April and rounds out with a $322,000 final at Menangle on the 26th of April. So that we'll have to wait a while, but it certainly will be a highlight of the night to watch that horse go round.
Absolutely. That's in race number 8 on Sunday night in Hobart. And, of course, the action doesn't stop there with another big week coming up the following week.
Yes, we've got Devonport on Sunday the 22nd, the Sunday Twilight meeting, and the Hobart. It's actually a combined meeting with the Greyhounds on Monday the 23rd. So plenty more to look forward to in the coming weeks and months.
And for all the information, just head to tasracing.com.au. All the information you need to back a winner in Tasmanian racing will be there for you. And punters, corner, all the driving changes, all the training, all the form, it's all there for you. So no excuses not to back a winner in Tassie for the next 7 days. Thanks for your efforts today, Kev.
My pleasure again, Shane.
Well, as Kevin alluded to, we've got 2 meetings coming up for the week as far as trying to find some winners for Devonport at Tapita Park on Friday night, Hobart on Sunday night. The man charged with that responsibility is Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, good, mate.
How's the confidence level heading into the weekend?
Oh, Hobart's not too bad, but Sprayton, mate. And as you know, it's on the Tapita track, which is a galloping track, and they're probably only racing once a year, mate. So the form is not that well exposed, to be honest, but we'll have a crack and see how we go anyway, mate.
Well, I'm sure you've sifted through them. The first leg of the quaddie is for the C1 runners. It's over the 1700.
Yeah, tricky little race, few chances, but I was very impressed by the runner Kirby Hill last week at Launceston. Sat 1 out, 2 back, pulled out and ran past the 2 horses that have got a little bit of ability, ran past them easy for a very good win. So she's definitely going to take plenty of beating. Esquivio broke through for a good win at Burnie the other night, so he's got to be a chance. Buckingham Boy, he might be one that will be suited by the Sprayton track. He's a pretty tough type and will be suited by the long straight at Sprayton. And you've got Helen's Hall, had no luck at Burnie, trapped 3 wide. Territorial's got some open. Chrissy Major Main broke through for a good win. But we'll go 8 Kirby Hill, mate, from 5 Buckingham Boy, then numbers 1, 2, 3 and 7, mate.
Race number 6 on the card, again over the 1700. 2 last start winners, Johnny Art and Western Karamea.
Yeah, another very open race, Shane. I'm going to lead towards Noel Farrow to mine Gavrail. He's always running on, and one thing about Sprayton, he will be suited by the long straight, so we'll go on him, even though he's drawn out the back. But I think Gavrail, remember Priest racing a lot better than what his form reads, and he's drawn 1, so he's going to get every chance on Friday night. You've got Mighty Gaster racing okay. Western Karamea was a very good win. Very good drive, mind you, to win last start. We'll need a similar drive tonight to win. Then you've got Rampling and No Time to Think, like racing on the speed, and you know, wind wouldn't shock. But we'll go 10 Gavrail from 1, 2 and 9, mate. Remember Priest, Rampling and Western Karamea, then 3 and 4, mate. No Time to Think of Mighty Jester.
Race number 7 on the card is the Sheffield Cup. We've got three back markers off the 20. A Madman Comes Undone, Whisper Jet and Black Centurion.
Well, it's pretty hard to go past Whisper Jet. You know, he's running the Norfolk Cup. He's run at Carrick. You set a task at Carrick, you know, he threw wide for a lap and a half and just went down narrowly. She really deserves to win a cup, and I think this is the one. It's not as strong as the previous two, so I'm sure they'll put her into the races that they have, and yeah, she should prove too strong on Friday night up there. The dip was very good in your Norfolk Cup going back 3 weeks ago, and you know, he's drawn well and going to get us off run, so he can run a race. Then you've got places like Muscle Road Bay, who won the Norfolk Cup, has got to be an each way chance with a bit of luck. The Madman Comes Undone, you know, batted away well in a claimer on Sunday night at Launceston, and he's not without some hope. And you got Will Be Dog, put him back in Black Centurion, mate. But we'll go 12 Whisper Jet. I think she's a better than night, mate. From 2 is the dip, then 1, 3, 6, 11 and 13, mate.
Now, the last leg of the quaddie is race number 8, again over the 1865. High Flying Fred. Its two wins have been 5 years apart. Can it win again in the space of a week?
Oh, I don't think you can, mate, but, you know, you've got to give credit where it's due. Good luck to the connections of High Flying Fred for persevering for 5 years. Not his other win, mate, no. You've got to take your hat off to them sort of people in the industry, mate. They do all success they get for keep running away, you know, with a horse that, yeah, wins two races in 5 years, mate. So congratulations to all connections. In race 8, Blended Family, he's going to be off the 30 metres, but he drops a little bit in class in this race, so, and he's the sort of pace that can do a bit of work in the run, so he's going to take plenty of beating in this race, Shane. You know, Louis Berlint, he's trained by Bradley Walters, whose horses are going very well at the moment, and well done to Brad. You know, Kirby Hill won the other night, and Louis Berlint won a couple of weeks ago, so he's going to be a danger. And you've got Slightly Boy, who won at St Mary's and St Mary's Cup Day, then absolutely blew the start of Burnie, as we all saw, and so as long as he steps, he's going to be a hope. And then you've got Luke Thomas, who's always a chance in his races, going to take plenty of beating. And you've got City Babe and Bumbledon, you know, can win without surprising. But we'll go 10 Blended Family from numbers 5, 6 and 9, mate. Louis Blount, Sweetly Boy, Luke Thomas, then 2 and 7.
What about a best bet or a value runner for the night?
It's pretty hard night of best bet. I really like Whisper Jet in race 7, mate, number 12. And race 2, number 2, Santana Knight gets a chance to win in race 2, mate. We'll go a quaddie. We'll go first leg 2, 5 and 8. Second leg 1, 2, 3, 9 and 10. Third leg 12 only. Last leg 5, 6, 9 and 10. $30 flex, you give you 50% of the dividend, mate.
Okay, so we picked up the quaddie at Devonport on Friday night. Then we head to Hobart on Sunday night. The first leg of the quaddie is the Flying Mile. It's over the 1609. We've got Ardlooser Express going for a winning hat trick. Truly Blissful coming off a great win last week, and our Chain of Command, one of the top notches in the field.
Yeah, very open race. You know, like, good at 12 over the mile. Gonna need a lot of luck. As you said, Ardlooser Express, you know, I'm reiterating what I've been saying. You know, done a super job, Deb Williams, and if she can come out and win the mile race on Sunday night, mate, geez, you know, she's, you know, I'll have to start thinking about giving her a couple on my own horse as well, mate, because, yeah, if she can win it.
Well, you've got enough. Meeting. You've got enough.
Yeah, well, you never know, mate. If she can win the Sunday night, mate, we might have to give her a couple to see what she can do to them. So, Ardlooser Express, you know, going to take it, you know, it's not going to be easy for her, but, you know, it's got some hope that odds with the right run. Pretty keen on Houdini. Gets his chance to break through. He draws barrier 2. Probably going to fall on the lead, and this is his race to get back into the winner's circle. You mentioned our Chain of Command, mate. He is an old marvel, and he's running my own horses. He's always a chance, but he's going to find it hard over the mile from out the back. But if any luck gets in the race, you know, he will be thereabouts. You've got Modern Ruler. He's a very handy type, Modern Ruler. If he can push forward early and find the breeze, he'll run a race at good odds. Remember, Joe's pretty similar. Needs to push forward and get up and outside him, you know, run a race. Then you've got the Jeff Smith trained pair, Truly Blissful and Dodgy, mate. Truly Blissful won Sunday night, Launceston. Great drive by Toto Ratcho, won easy, but Dodgy, mate, missed, blew the start 100 metres, tacked on, looked like he's going to work in the race and galloped again. If he's on his best behaviour, I remember about 5 years ago he ran a bottler in this race behind another one of me. Our Sir Jekyll ran about 150-1. He was that night, and he went very close, so he's run a big odds at Cameron Array. We'll go 2 Houdini from 5, 6, 12 and 13, mate.
Second leg is over the mile, and we've got the likes of Metro Digby, who's won 2 of its last 3, and La Ebony Keita having a last start win next to its name.
Yeah, Metro Digby, he's in career best form, and well done to Paul Williams. He's shown a lot of ability. for a long time, and he's finally starting to deliver. But he's going to have his work cut out here tonight from Barry 13 over the mile, mate. Pretty keen on number two, Angela DeMarco. You know, she hit the line very strongly last start, and she grows a leg when she races at the front of the field. She can either find the lead or sit parked. She's going to take plenty of beating down over the mile. Metro Digby's the obvious danger, mate. Just needs a bit of luck from Barry 13. Franco Sheffield's trying to get a nice running behind the speed, probably behind the leader, even three pegs at worst, and if the gaps open up, if he's at his best, he can sprint past them without surprising. Rockback Dancer probably holds the key. You know, it's an early leader who wants to, but it does race up much better with a sit. So it'll be interesting, the tactics there. Then you've got Lower Ebony, Keita, Luke Peter and Bolton Mac can fill a place. We'll go two hands on the Marco from 8 and 13 months. Franco Sheffield, Metro Digby, then one Rockback Dancer.
What about race number 7, the third leg? Not much winning form to go on here.
Very tough race, mate. Very tough. Tink's Taxi deserves, you know, probably at every chance these last couple of starts, but this is the easiest task he's going to face. And if he can spear to the lead, he'll take a bit of running down. I've got him. He's racing well. He's got an each way chance. You've got Spunky Monkey, you know, our Spunky Monkey, drawn well, going to get a good run. So can run a race without surprising. Then you've got Grinnable and Cookbooks, you know, also got chances in a very tricky race, but we'll go. Five, I've got them from 3 and 4, mate. Our Spunky Monkey and Tinky's Taxi.
Last race, only a field of 4. It's the 2-year-olds. Taz Breed bonus, if eligible there, of a further $3,000. And we've got some interesting runners here. Gogo GG, a last start winner. Sultan Filler going for a winning hat-trick, and all eyes on number 4.
Yeah, all eyes will definitely be on number 4, mate. He was $145,000 purchase at the Sydney APG sales last year. He's a very well-related type, and good luck to Mick Maxfield. He's gone out the last couple of seasons, brought some of the best bred horses in the country, and bring them to Tassie to race before they hopefully measure up and compete on the mainland. But you've got to go bling it to the Max, mate. His trial form's been brilliant. Wraps are huge. He's bred to be a good horse, and he should be winning. Gogo GG was very impressive at Burnie, and he's going to be a lot fitter for the run. He's drawn the pole, so he probably looks a dangerous if he's run. Then you've got the stable mate to the likely favourite, Sultan Filler. You know, he's won 2 out of his last 3, so he's got to be thereabouts. But, you know, bring it to the Max is as good as they say, mate. He'll just be winning.
Yeah, well, by Art Major, from All That Glitters is Gold. So let's hope it is gold for connections on Sunday night in the last race on the card, number 4. So how are we going to put a quaddie together?
We'll go first leg, mate, 2, 5, 6, 12 and 13. Second leg, 2, 8 and 13. Third leg, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 8. Last leg, 4 only, mate, $37.50 for 50%.
And a best bet?
I'll go a couple of each way odds, mate. You know, there's no real, the best bets are probably going to be too short, but we'll go a couple of each way. Race 2, number 2, Noteworthy Lombo. And race 4, number 7, Vanderbilt. Is very unlucky in the Curry Cup. Going to need a bit of luck from 7, but you know, go around the $5, $6 mark and you know, we'll be very hard to beat. And the roughie of the night is, as I alluded to earlier, Dodge Me Mate in the Torres Flying Mile, mate. He's on his night, he's very good, but it's just catching him on his night that's the big issue.
And just needs to stay in his gear to be a real chance, that's for sure. Yeah, thanks for your thoughts today, right, Jamie, and good luck with those selections. We'll get a few more off you next week.
All right, mate. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.